Joshua chapter 15, from verse 13 to 19. Caleb has asked Joshua for the mountain, the hill country, Hebron. Joshua has given Caleb that portion in Judah, according to the Lord's command, the Lord's promise at Kadesh Barnea. And now we have subsequent events. Let me just read the relevant words. In accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, a portion in Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites. From there he marched against the people living in Debir. And Caleb said, I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter Aksa to him in marriage. One day, when she came to Othniel, she urged him, or it could be he urged her, to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, what can I do for you? She replied, do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water. So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. Joshua 15, verses 13 to 19. What can we make of this? Well, we're in the Old Covenant, and we're in a different culture to most of us today in the West. But this is in Scripture, and there are scriptural principles for us to apply, I'm sure. Calvin, in his view of this passage, comes down very strongly against Aksa, and he has some very harsh things to say about her. He thinks the episode shows her in a very bad light. I do not think so myself. Let me just give you some thoughts upon this passage. The first thing I would say is about Caleb himself. Caleb had gone to Joshua, give me this hill country, give me this mountain. And Joshua had given it to him. It was difficult, it was hill country, and there were hostile tribes and peoples living there. But Caleb had demanded, in the right sense, claimed, asked, for the promise that God had given at Kadesh Barnea. But the point I would make here is this. Caleb was not a man just of words. He was not a man of good intentions. There are believers who are always going to do something for God. They're always going to set about something. They're always going to do something. Caleb was not one of these talkers who was big in his ideas. In accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, a portion of Judah. Yes, very good. From Hebron, Caleb drove out. From there, he marched against. He was a man of action. He put his ambitions, his hopes, into action. And I, therefore, address myself, and I address you, brother and sister. I urge you, not just to plan to do something for God, to hope to do something for God, to want to do something for God, not to talk about doing something for God, but let us be men and women of action. Caleb shows us, I want this, he says. I know it's hard. I know I've got to climb the hill. I know I've got to fight the people. But he marched, and he did it. Let's follow Caleb. Remember, he was 85 at least when he was saying this and doing this. So let's be a believer, man or woman, of action. as well as word. Next thing I would see here, I like the way he encourages the younger man and his daughter too. He encourages them, and he encourages them how? By testing. I'll give my daughter, he said, to the man who can take Kiriath Sefer. It's good for a young man, says the Book of Lamentations, chapter 3:27, to bear the yoke in his youth. 1 Timothy 3 talks about testing. Training, you see. While you will find in Judges chapter 3, verse 9, that Othniel, this man who captured Kiriath Sefer, he obviously wanted Aksa, and he had the courage and the will and the determination to take Kiriath Sefer. You will find that in Judges 3:9, this Othniel comes back again, and later in life he becomes a judge for Israel, a deliverer for Israel, a rescuer for Israel in their troubles. It is good for a young man to bear the yoke. It is good to be disciplined. And I like Caleb's spirit here. It's not easy come, easy go. He's a testing man. He's proving his son-in-law, a man of quality. As I say, there are things here about marriage that would not come into our culture, but allowing that, Caleb knows how to train young men, and young women too, that they might be useful in their service in later years. If I speak to a young believer, I hope you're building up muscle now, spiritually speaking, to be ready for the fight that you're engaged in now, but one day soon you will be a leader in this battle. May God make you ready for it. Aksa wanted the springs, or her husband did. The pair of them seem to be together in it, and they want the springs. You've given me the land. You give me the land in the Negev. But we need water. And of course they do. And I see nothing immoderate in this. It's a moderate, sensible desire for comfort. And I see from this no sin. I don't see the harsh view that Calvin takes of this. I believe the demands, the requests, the asking of her father is all moderate and sensible. Of course, there is a longing for stuff and ambition and land that's all wrong, but I don't see that here. The third principle I would bring out is the happy agreement, the mutual harmony in a godly household. The husband and wife, the young marrieds and the parents, they talk openly together. They're honest with each other. They explain to each other. And I think this is an instruction to us. That they're generous with each other. They're thoughtful. And they happily agree together. And they can make requests of each other and show their hand, as it were. There's no sort of politicking here. It's all very open and harmonious and a happy agreement in a godly household. Another principle I see here is the parental kindness and generosity, yes, but it's sensible. Caleb does not indulge his daughter and her husband. It's not easy come, easy go. And he has to take the land. He has to take that place. He has to work for it. Sensible, parental kindness and gifts, but not indulgence. Many a child is ruined by his parents' indulgence of them. I've known young believers. The parents taught them that the sun shined out of them, and it's their ruination. A spoiled child has a spoiling parent. Caleb is a lesson to us in this. May those of us who are parents and have responsibility with young children bring them up, train them in the fear and nurture and admonition of God. Not overindulge them, and certainly not make them feel that the sun shines out of them. Of course we love them, and of course we respect them, and we want the best for them, but that doesn't mean to spoil them. Another principle I see here is the generosity the willingness to give the land and the water that's necessary. Again, respect. And again, I see, contrary to Calvin, I see a respectful asking here, quite contrary to Luke 15 and verse 12, where the young man, the prodigal, demanded, "Give me my inheritance," he said of his father, and he went away and wasted it. Axa and Othniel show a much better spirit here. Generosity, but not demanding. Open-handedness, with respect. There's no grudging, but there's no demanding. So these are the principles I see here. Caleb is not just a man of talk. He knows how to train young people for their life's work. I see moderate, restrained desire for things. I see happy agreement within a godly household. I see sensible parental kindness in gifts, but not indulgence. I see generosity and open-handedness going hand in hand with respect. These are the things that show a godly reflection to the world, a godly light. In the New Covenant, Philippians 1:27, Ephesians 4:1, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, let our life be worthy of the gospel. Let it be fitting to the manner of Christ, fitting to the calling we have received. Let it be that kind of spirit that shows Christ to the world. I'm reminded of Titus chapter 2. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted. And it's this is the punchline, this is the climax, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. They will adorn the doctrine of God, I think one version has it. In every way, they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. I believe if we have Caleb spirit, Axa spirit, Othniel spirit, and we show this moderation, this discipline, this respect, this workish attitude, this training, this discipline of each other, this godliness in action, I believe we will in every way make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. If we reflect to the world the gospel, the manner of living worthy of the calling we have received, the gospel of Christ, if we do that, then I'm sure that we will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. That's what I see in this passage in Joshua 15. May we today, brother and sister, make the teaching of the gospel, the teaching of Christ, attractive to sinners. And may sinners see Christ in us and long to have what we have, long to know and to experience what we have found in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we show this by our practical living in our families, in our home, in our relationships. May we do so for Christ's sake. Amen.